Let us bow our heads, open our hearts, and pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we come to you as humble we know how. We ask for blessing. We ask for your protection. But most importantly, we ask for your all-powerful love. All of this we ask in the most precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I speak to a friend of mine. I believe God placed her life. She told me about how she walked to a member in the church she attends who had recently lost his wife. She said that afterwards, somebody had told her that they had expected more from her in terms of consolation, considering that she had she had lost her husband a while back. She said that she thought that she had did the best that she could when she was talking to him, and was just wondering if she could do more. And some of y'all know, well, most of y'all know, that my wife passed almost 4 years ago. So I have a little bit of inkling about what it feels like. And over the course of my life as a minister, I've picked up a few things. So I explained to her that when you lose the loved one, you're on a different level than those who haven't lost a spouse before. Someone who has never made a pledge before God with another person, they can't understand that. People who have never stood before God and pledged to be with that person in sickness and in health till death do us part, I don't think they can fully understand and grasp the gravity of that situation. See, we show our understanding, our empathy, and our compassion to people who have been in that situation by being more of a presence to them than in any other way, shape, or form. See, I'm sure that some of y'all do understand this. Those who have lost a spouse or have been in a relationship where the person was basically your spouse. We stand before them and we let them know that we're here to talk, that we're here to listen, but most important of all, we're here to keep them company in their darkest times. We're here to help them stand when they can't stand by themselves. We're here to be the shoulder for them to lean on when they need to lean on somebody. See, I'm sure, like I said, that some of y'all have went through this, and y'all understand what I'm talking about. It's a different form of understanding, a different form of compassion that we have for them. You see, when we express compassion and empathy towards those that are around us and those that are in need, we're on a path to becoming Christ-like in our actions and in our ways. Amen? That's all that God wants from us. He wants us to love one another as we love ourselves. See, as I open up service today, I'm sure that when you heard me say the summary of the law, I said a specific part, and that was, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That summary of the commandments is one of the most important laws that we need to submit to, that we need to obey, because it expresses all that God is. Now, what is God? God is love. The love that we should have for ourselves and the love that we should have for each other and everyone that God has created and that stood and still stands on his green earth. God didn't make us so that we can hate and have spite for one another. He made us in order to love one another as he loves us. And he showed us his level of love on that fateful day at Calvary when he gave up his life so that we may live and be close to him once again. Amen? In today's gospel lesson, we read about Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And what was he doing? He was doing what he is known to do, what he always does. And that's preaching and teaching the people that are in his midst. See, I want to draw your attention today specifically to Mark chapter 8, verse 2, when he said, I have compassion on the multitude. Now, why did he say that? The reason was because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. Jesus saw that there was a lot of people there. To be specific, there were 4,000 people there. And there might have been more, because when they tend to count, they tend to count the men. They're not counting the women and the children. And it wasn't that they were there because there was nothing on TV. I mean, with the way Mets are playing these days, you might as well. But that's another talk for another time. They were there because they followed Jesus out of love and out of faith. Here was God on earth, and he was in the flesh. And he was teaching them things that they needed to know. One thing that I want all of you to know is that our God is a great God. Not only because of his power, but because he loves us all. He cares for us all. Not because he has to, but because he wants to. Jesus said that he had compassion. But what is compassion? Really, what is it? I thought I understood. But I said, for safety's sake, let me look it up in one of the many dictionaries that they have out there. So I went eeny, meeny, miny, moe, and I picked the Cambridge one. And it defines compassion as a strong feeling of sympathy and sadness for the suffering or bad luck of others, and a wish to help them. The word compassion comes from the Latin word compati, and that means to suffer together. Sometimes we use the word sympathy, empathy, and compassion almost interchangeably, but they're different words. When we say sympathy or empathy, we're referring to the ability of someone to take someone else's feelings into account. You know, to sympathize with how someone is feeling about a situation that they're going through. It doesn't mean pity, so don't think of it that way. It's trying to understand how the person is feeling. You probably heard a saying before called to walk a mile in somebody else's shoes. It's to give you an understanding or a feeling what that person must be going through. Compassion, on the other hand, it involves feeling somebody else's pain and wanting to take those steps in order to help that person with whatever they're going through, whatever pain that they're suffering, to try to stop the pain, to relieve the pain. Compassion is what happens when you take those feelings of sympathy, those feelings of empathy, and move it to the next level. Now, compassion is not a word that appears once or twice in the Bible. It appears a total of 43 times. And we're talking about the word compassion, not those words that lead to it. The actual word. It's 22 times in the Old Testament and 21 times in the New Testament. See, that tends to give me the impression that it's an important quality that we should try to have, and definitely is something that we should try to use over the course of our daily lives. So we're told in the Old Testament scripture about compassion. Psalm chapter 145, verses 8 to 9 says that the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 21 tells us it is a sin to despise one's neighbor, but blessed is the one who is kind to the needy. There are scriptures, like I told you, in the New Testament, such as Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, that tells us, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 28 tells us, finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. See, Jesus' compassion is shown to us by the feelings that he showed everyone that he met over the course of his life. In today's gospel, it's shown to those 4,000 people that followed him. Those same 4,000 people that came to him to learn. Those same 4,000 people that came to be in his presence in order to be healed, and especially those that were distressed in whatever way, shape, or form that they were suffering. Those people were so intent on seeing him that they put aside their concerns for their own well-being. They wanted to be with him so badly that their own welfare, such as eating, didn't seem to matter. That's the kind of love that they had for Jesus. He meant that much to them. What he was saying and what he was doing for them and for all of the people whose lives he touched were simply put a matter of compassion, a matter of relief to those who needed it. That was the most important thing in their lives, and they were prepared to give all of their time and all of their attention to him. It's easy to say we need to love our neighbors as we love ourselves, but sometimes it's easier said than done. Come on, really it is. When we think about loving some of our neighbors, sometimes we just think that God just doesn't actually know who our neighbors are when he made that commandment to us. It's not always easy to show compassion, especially when we feel that that person doesn't deserve it. As a matter of fact, it's like they deserve whatever they're getting. At least that's what we feel in our hearts. But whatever we believe, it has put up a barrier between us and our neighbors. We have to overcome that barrier, though, in order to do what is right, in order to do what is really and truly necessary, and that's to love our neighbors. We try to understand that person's pain. We really have to try to understand their pain, the problems that they're going through. But most of all, We can't do it when we have hate and smugness in our hearts. When we finally find it in our souls to offer, to lighten their burdens, that's when our empathy transforms into compassion. See, I want you to understand that being compassionate is not something that has to occur when people are down and out, though. Being kind, offering to help someone carry a bag to their front door or to their car or up a flight of stairs, those are perfect examples of compassion. Another example of compassion might be something as simple as saying hello and good morning. It's something that I don't see every day in the city. Matter of fact, it's almost as if you want to start a fight if you have the nerve to say hello to somebody. The first thing coming to their mind or even out of their mouth is, what do you want? I just want to say hello. I don't want anything. But the world that we live in now is a breeding ground of animosity, hostility, and personal growth done at the expense of others without an ounce of empathy, sympathy, or compassion. Why is he saying hello to me? What does he want? We're taught by society that in order to go up the chain of success, somebody has to go down. It's definitely not something that we should promote in the course of our lives, or something that we should be teaching our children, because we're our children's role models. Imagine how good it feels when the weight of the world is on your shoulders and somebody says to you, can I give you a hand? Or do you want to talk about it? How does that saying go? Sometimes it's the little things that matter. It doesn't always have to be some big, grandiose, attention-grabbing thing just to get the job done. Nobody has to know what you do other than the person you're doing it for. And even then, it doesn't have to be something that they might even know. We may not be able to perform the miracles that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did, but God makes it clear by his word and examples that we should be willing to help other people in whatever way, shape, or form that is within our power. Sometimes it's as simple as praying with them. Or it may be offering to just keep them company when they want to vent or cry or feel whatever emotion that they're going through. Sometimes it's as simple as offering someone something to eat, especially when they have nothing to eat. That's what Jesus did. He knew that the people that were following him either ran out of food or had no food at all. They were there with him for 3 days, and the least thing that he could do was feed them. We have to be prepared to do whatever we can that can ease some of our brothers and sisters' burdens, whatever those burdens may be. That's what true compassion is, and that's how God wants us to behave in the course of this thing that's called life, that he blessed us with. Beloved brothers and sisters, in order to minister to one another, because we are all ministers of our Lord, in order to thrive, in order to do the work that we're called to do, we have to do it with compassion. We have to care for the people that we minister to, because we may be that last chance for them to be saved from whatever trials and tribulations that they're going through. We may be the instrument that God is using in order to reach out to those that are in need of help. Amen? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.